Thank you so much, Kenjera, for joining the We Don't Play podcast show today. How are you?
I'm great. Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Anytime, anytime. I'm so excited about today's topic because we're going deep into marketing principles. And when you hear principles, it's like, oh, we got to be stern. We got to be, you know, disciplined. You know, we hear all those things. So I'm so excited to talk to you about this and let people know how to market their businesses and doing the right things at the right time for the right people. So I'm so excited about this as well. And it would be great for us to know who you are. Tell us more about yourself and what you do so that people have like a good backstory before we jump right in.
Okay, cool. So yeah, my name is Kenjera Whittington. I'm the owner and founder of Evolve Global Marketing. And I also have a business coaching program. But the marketing agency, really most people waste an enormous amount of time and money on marketing that doesn't work. It doesn't drive sales, it doesn't generate leads, it doesn't grow their business. So they feel stuck and they're just lost. And we don't want you to waste time on marketing because marketing can be amazing for your business. And so I started a marketing agency that specializes in storytelling or story-based marketing. So I've built it up to a seven-figure business in just a few short years. I own and run a team of about 10, and I get to help businesses every single day and personal brands really create their branding and their messaging that is engaging and impactful so that they can tell a better story. And the business does websites and sales funnels and all social media and all the other stuff too, but really the messaging's at the core.
That's beautiful. You know, one of the questions I know people are going to ask is off the rip, how do you grow a business to seven figures? What is the principle of that? How do you even benchmark that success or that milestone? Can you be able to tell us, just based on the years you've been able to experience this?
Yeah. So really it came down to three main things that I had to do to achieve business growth. And it's for any, I would say any service-based business out there. Number one, it's you have to be intentional and you have to be specific in the messaging you're going to be using, because people buy from people they know, like, and trust. They buy from people they can relate to. They want to feel something with your brand. And so I created messaging that was really going to be powerful. And the number one step of that was really how to solve a problem for somebody, to figure out what problem we're needing to solve for people. So that was the first thing I did. And once I dialed that in and really understood the problem I was solving, how my customer wanted to be spoken to and what words were gonna really resonate, the next thing I really did was lead generation. So I learned, I don't know, you have to have about 7 to 10 calls on your calendar consistently as a service business. Like, you have to be able to talk to people, because some of them are going to want to buy, some of them aren't going to be ready, some of them you're not going to want to work with, right? But some of them might just not be able to afford you, and all of that's okay. So if you have about that 7 to 10 calls, so it's really developing strategies for lead generation and how do you consistently have people booking on your calendar. And then finally, it was systems and processes. I get told all the time that I'm really good at that, but I didn't really think about it. Like, it was, okay, this is sucking my time, so I need to do this in order to save me time, or hire this person that can take away things that maybe I'm not that good at, or that just, you know, don't fill me up. And so all of those systems and processes get developed, which allows you to scale so you don't have to be in the center of the day-to-day.
That's beautiful. I like what you said about, you know, systems and processes, because that's a place where a lot of entrepreneurs tend not to explore, because I feel like oh, everything, I gotta wear this hat 10 times a day, I have to switch different hats throughout the season, and they don't think about delegating. But I think also, like what you said, you know, delegating and giving people tasks to do is so important. So how do you delegate those tasks so that you don't feel like you have to be hands on them while you're giving them out at the same time?
Really great question. So I think number one, it's just having some of those leadership skills where you have, you know, weekly meetings, which are really important, so everybody knows kind of what they're going to be doing each day, and then not having to micromanage that. And I think we use a project management system, and I think those systems, there's a lot of them out there. We use Basecamp, but there's Asana and there's Monday and there's Trello. But in service businesses, it doesn't matter what you do. You don't have to be in the marketing world. But if you are running a service business, people have certain jobs to do to fulfill the service for the customer. And so we built on the back end of the project management system the tasks that needed to be done to fulfill a specific type of customer need. And so that way we could task out who's supposed to do what when and keep it very organized. And that really was huge. And then, you know, other systems that we use is automation. We use a ton of automation because it helps us be more efficient in our work. So we don't have to, you know, copy something twice and send it somewhere else. We leverage a lot of automation. Automation actually multiplies your time. It gives you back time. So everybody's like, "How? I only have 24 hours in the day." Like, I used to say that. I don't know. Do you say that? I used to say that all the time.
I used to say that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I was always stuck with, "I only have this much time." But the truth is, we can get back time in other ways, and automation is one of them.
Yeah. I love that you said automation, because it really sets the tone for the way your business model is and how you also grow and expand as well. So I really appreciate you for mentioning that. You know, when I think about marketing principles, and I know you have about 7 marketing principles, I would love for people to just sit back and listen to you talk about the 7 marketing principles so they can apply them and think about what they're already doing and how they can fix it.
Yeah, so I am a what's called Story Brand Certified Guide. If you haven't heard of Story Brand or Donald Miller, I highly recommend the book Building a Story Brand. It's phenomenal. And the marketing principles that I really use is kind of a framework that he's developed in how to create that great engaging messaging that's gonna get your customer to take action. Because what do we all want, right? We want more leads, we want more sales, we want more clients. We wanna make a bigger impact. And the only way to do that is to be in front of more people and helping more people with what you do well. So the marketing principles start with, you know, it's just storytelling principles. Who is your ideal customer? And really understanding them and what they want. And then looking at the problem again that they face and how you're going to solve that problem. And then in any good story, when the problem comes, a guy, right? So that you need help, because you're like, if I could solve my own problem, I would. But obviously I'm reaching out to someone else because I can't. And so we want to talk as businesses to our customers about as a guy and not a hero, right? And so what most businesses do is they say, here's who I am, here's how great I am, here's what I do, here's why you should buy from me, right? It's all about me. And people don't actually buy that way. They buy when they read or hear words that are about them, that make them feel like you get them. And so in any good storyline, you need a guide and somebody who's gonna tell you that it can be better and that your business or life is gonna get better if you do what they tell you to do or work with them, right? Or buy from them. So that marketing principle is really huge, because when we position our brand as the guide, not the hero, people actually listen because you're talking about them. So we do that. And then we want to always make sure we're calling people to take action. So one of the biggest things I see in marketing is that we're almost afraid to call people to take action, to say, hey, enroll today, register now, schedule a call. Like, what do I want you to do? What's the one thing that I need you to do in order to do business with me? And give people access to that. And so calling people to take action can be very vague and ambiguous. Like, if we're not comfortable with it, we might say things like learn more, or we might make them search around our marketing to figure out what button they're supposed to, we make it very hidden. And what we really want to do is just be confident in it and say, and use one of the ones I just kind of mentioned, like use something very direct. And so that's one thing that we do immediately with our clients is, you know, and I've learned even for me, like you can go to my calendar and you can book a call with me. And if you're interested in marketing, you can book a call with me. And I make it very easy for people because, you know, we all are busy.
Yeah.
Once we call them to take action, then we have to give them a plan, right? So we want to give them a plan, and the guide always gives a plan that at the end of the plan is that call to action. And that plan is, here's how simple and easy it is to do business with me, because, you know, the human brain goes, I don't know what I should do. Like, should I do it? Should I not? Is it going to take a million hours of my time to do this? You know, they get nervous. And so
right.
When you have a guide that can give a plan that calls someone to take action, it's perfect. And then finally, we have to talk about what it's like for someone to be successful after they work with you. Like, what is their life and business going to give them? Like, what's the identity transformation that they're going to have? Or if they don't work with you, how is it going to be the same? So in any good storyline, it ends in success or failure. And you can look at any movie that's out there and you can kind of see how that story plays out.
Yeah, I love what you mentioned about story, because story taps into emotions, it taps into color, it taps into all these kind of facets that we deal with every day. And one thing that came to my mind as you were speaking was the psychology of marketing, especially when it comes to color design and also frameworks that allow people to, you know, convert, because we always talk about A/B testing. So how is it important for your business to look at marketing from that psychological perspective and add color to it, so that if, for example, you're sending someone a link and say buy now, it's in orange instead of it being in green, for example?
Oh yeah, the psychology of colors. So here's the thing. You can get really deep into the psychology of colors and what they mean and feel. And actually, I just talked to a potential client today, like right before this call. And I'll give you a perfect example. If you are like in the financial world, red's not your color, right? Like, you don't want your funds to be red, because if you're a CPA, an accountant, a wealth management professional, right, an investment firm, red means you're in the red. Like, you don't want that. So there's some psychology there that we innately don't realize when we're branding. However, for the most part, you know, certain colors have feelings, and they should. You want happy colors. You want colors that maybe resonate with your industry or with your what you do. So like in spirituality, purple is a very, very known color that people relate to. Blue, you see that a lot. It is actually a very inviting color. But I wouldn't say personally that every color has to be like micromanaged. But I do think you are right. Like, your buttons should be clear and they should pop. It's just deciding what that's going to be for your client. You can have a black button if your site's very colorful, and then maybe that actually pops off. You just want your buttons to be noticeable and have words on it that are very clear on what action people are taking.
Yeah, thank you for highlighting that. It's really important to think about those things, because when you also segment your emails, segment your list, give people things to think about, it also creates that value intent, because people are going to be searching for your content and they're going to give you a lot of feedback based on what you sent them. So now, like you talked about storytelling. Now, if I think about it, when I hear storytelling or story selling, I think about content, I think about context. So how much of a story are you going to be able to put into this story that when somebody reads the story, they feel like they've gotten enough of the story, rather than you telling them like a whole scroll of stories that they're going to be like, okay, what's the point? How do you bridge that gap?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would always say, think of storytelling in marketing or in selling as it's not about you. So we're not actually telling this long drawn out story about ourselves. We're actually telling the story about the life and the business that the person has and how we get their problem and how it will be better when they work with us. So the story is really about them. So there is a attention span for sure on what you can say and how long you say it. But really, there's an art to how do you talk about it and use a lot. So like some suggestions for anyone listening, if you have a website, for example, use check marks to just bullet point things, right? Give it your headers and subheaders are really important. You can do a couple sentences in the subheader, a really nice header, and then some check marks. So you can have people scan a website, because people don't read it verbatim usually, they kind of scan it. So in my work, we're always looking at how can we get people through the headers and the subheaders to understand what we're talking about. And if they want to dive in more, they can get a little bit more detail, but really remembering not to make it super wordy and drawn out, because people don't have that attention span, and make sure it's not about you and it's about them. You can still talk about yourself, but you have to do it in a way of what it is for them.
I like that. What is it in for them? Because when you think about them, they think about you.
Yes. think about anything you do in life. When you meet somebody, you know, at the gym, and you're like, hey, and you relate to each other because you have something in common, right? And that's what makes us, you know, anybody who's ever gone to the same school that you've gone to or same university goes, oh, I suddenly must know you, and we must be of the same quality people because you went to the same university with like 50,000 other people that year, right? Like, we literally think like that. I came from California. I now live in the Carolinas, but in California, USC was one of those. We would see like the license plate of USC everywhere. And I would crack up at people who wouldn't even know each other. And they're like, oh, you went to USC? I was, oh yeah, okay, we could do business together. You know, like, it makes no sense. But that's how it is in marketing.
Yeah.
That's how it is in branding. People, when you say something that they can relate to, they're like, oh yeah, yeah, they get me. They are the people to solve my problem, and I have a problem, and you're gonna be the one I wanna hire because you are speaking my language, not your own language.
That is so true. I like that example you gave because it makes it easier for someone to be like, oh, okay, let me check mark this, or let me vet you out before we do a transaction together, because that might be the worst transaction ever or might be the best you've ever had. So it really depends on how that connection goes as well. And you know, when you think about marketing as you're speaking, I wanted us to, you know, go back a little bit to your business, you know, Evolve Global Marketing. When I hear that, I'm like, okay, this is big. This is bigger than local. This is like bigger than regional. So tell us more about how Evolve Global Marketing came to be. How did you even come up with the name? Because I love...
Yeah, naming's important in business. You know, I was in corporate America for 23 years. So I ran sales and marketing for major medical companies. I was running like $50 million sales budgets. And I loved selling and marketing in that realm. And I got to a point where I was realizing how often we just weren't targeting the customer correctly, and I was ready for change. And so that's what got me into starting my own business. And if you were to ask my husband, he would crack up right now if he was in here, because I absolutely did not know tech like I do now. He was like, you're gonna start a what? And I'm like, well, we're gonna be doing messaging and branding, but we also do all the tech. And I said to myself, if I'm gonna do this, I have to learn it. So I dove in, and like that first year I learned 40 different programs for email automation and websites and all. And so I just kind of built my tech knowledge so that I could understand how marketing works and how the flow happens. And my name really came from, you know, in naming, there's, I could go into a whole thing on naming, which I won't, but, you know, what was really important to me was I am global. So I have clients from Australia and Singapore and, you know, Europe and Canada and the whole United States. And I wanted it to be very unknown that it was global. And then, of course, I wanted the word marketing in there. And then I came, the word evolve for me, I wanted something that was forward thinking. Like, what are we trying to do? And so I did a mind map and just kind of brainstormed like what words resonated with me and would be positive words for other people. And so if you evolve your business, you evolve your marketing, you know, you're going to get more sales, you're going to grow. So it inevitably had forward momentum in the name. That's kind of how it came to be.
That's beautiful. That is amazing. And I would definitely say this off the rip for those who, and I know you're going to talk about it later on, but your website is stellar. Like, you're welcome. Like, the way you patterned out the colors, it makes you feel like you don't even want to close the tab. You just want to leave it open and just enjoy all the colors that are flashing at you. It's so great. And then you have all your projects there. You have reviews. You know, it gives people that sense of identity like you talked about. Like, I'd rather show you than tell you, because it's all in the work. It's all in what we do. And it's something that I definitely applaud you for.
Oh my gosh, that was so kind. Thank you so much. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I mean, I always felt like this is what I do for a living, it really had to portray the quality of what I do. But really for me, again, I hope it has a great message. That's the whole point. Like, why would you want to work with us? And I really appreciate that. That's very kind.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're most welcome. Anytime. You know, one of the things that I wanted to even ask you based on what I see on the site is, what is the process? Because when I hear process, I'm like, okay, there's structure. So for you, what is the process of onboarding clients? And if someone's listening to this and they want to know, okay, how does she work? How does she get people on? Because I know you have something called a no pressure call. And when they hear that, they're like, okay, no pressure? Are you sure it's no pressure? Or am I going to be pressured at the end? So that's one thing I wanted to know. Like, how do you onboard your clients and how do they feel comfortable when they're walking into your space?
Yeah. So for me, I don't sell anything to anybody. Like it is truly a no pressure call. Like I just want to get to know people. I say it in the beginning of every call. The goal is really anybody who helps you with marketing, you have to have a connection with. This is your brand. This is your baby, right? This is your company. Like you can't hire someone that doesn't get you and that you don't feel like can take your, you know, can take that message and that marketing to the next level. So. For me, it's really just we chat for 30 minutes. Sometimes it goes over if I have the time, or we schedule a follow up if we need it. And then we move into a proposal. And then once we kick off the project, then we usually do, every client does like some free work, and we data dump everything that's in their head onto a PowerPoint. And then I meet with them for a whole day and we spend an entire day together, kind of really messaging out what their identity is in their brand, what is the strategy that we're gonna use. And then from there, we go into doing whatever type of marketing we're gonna do, whether that's building a website or a sales funnel, or for content creators or personal brands, we do courses, like Thinkific, Teachable, LearnDash, like all the different course platforms. So we might do any of those, social media. And then I have a whole business coaching side too. So those are kind of the main buckets of what we do, and everything starts with that foundational of the brand, because that's where good marketing starts from.
That's so true. Marketing starts from that point, and I appreciate you for highlighting that. If there's one thing somebody needs to take away from today's episode when it comes to marketing and sustainability, especially as the keyword, what would that be and what would you tell them?
One thing for marketing. I would say probably make sure that you are positioning your brand as the guide, not the hero. I think if you even just do that and understand what that truly means, everything will change. So that messaging core piece is what's going to drive sales. That consistency and making it simple and easy to understand in your messaging, that's what's going to resonate with people.
Okay, that's a good one. I like that you put that in perspective, because it helps people to think outside the box, and I'm glad that you were able to do that. Thank you so much, Kimjara. I appreciate you. Anytime. If there's any way they can contact you, if there's anything you have going on, please let us know, because I'm sure they want to know, how can we contact her? Where do we go? You know, please feel free to let us know.
Yep. So I think I gave you, there's a link that you can go to book a call if you want to chat and actually talk about growing your marketing. I have done for you, and I also have coaching. So either way, depending upon budget. And you can visit my website. That's the best place to go. There's a video on there that's all about story brand and story-based marketing that I've done, that kind of gives a rundown on it. But it's www.evolveglobalmarketing.com. Go there and just check it out. And on the right top corner, you're gonna see, and all the way down, call to action buttons. You can book a call with me at any time. But read through the content, download the freebies. I have a ton. I have 70 blogs on there about marketing. Like, go and look at the site, get some information, and then book a call and let's connect and help you grow your business.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Kimjara, for joining the show today. You've been an immense help and a beacon of light, you know, to just help a lot of us. And I'm so glad that you're able to join the show, and I'm definitely bringing you back again sometime soon.
Thank you. All right, take care. I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.